X2237.
Good morning, gardeners. It's Sunday morning, and it's time for your favorite gardener and mine, Paul Parent. Now get yourself a cup of coffee and get out a notebook, because it's time to solve your garden problems. To join the Paul Parent Garden Club, all you have to do is call this toll-free number, 1-800-259-9231. That's 1-800-259-9231. And now your host, Paul Parent.
I see trees of green, red roses too. I see them bloom for me and you. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world.
Well, good morning and welcome to the Paul Parent Garden Club. Well, remember in February and March, we talked about cotton, and we were very fortunate. I could not find cotton seed to give away, no matter what I did and who I called, until I called my friends at Bayer Advance Lawn and Garden. And Ken Kukurowski was able to get 25 pounds of cotton seed for us. We put them in small packages, and we mailed over 1,000 packages of cotton. And I know a lot of you listening have planted cotton. You planted it, and it's done absolutely incredible. But I want to give you a little bit of some background and what we should be doing with the cotton right now. So I went back to talk to Ken Kukurowski at Bayer Advance, and he has hooked me up with Steve Nichols. Steve Nichols is the head of agronomy for a company called Fibermax, and Fibermax is part of Bayer Advance Lawn and Garden, and he's been very great. He's in Lubbock, Texas. He's getting up really early to join us this morning to tell you everything that you need to know about growing cotton and a lot more. The other thing that Steve Nichols is doing for us coming up on the 3rd of October is the Topsfield Fair, and we're putting together a display of cotton, and Steve is sending us a lot of information about cotton that we hope you'll be able to come and join us on October 3rd at the Topsfield Fair. There'll be a lot of information in our newsletter, but let's talk with Steve so he can tell you everything that you need to know about growing cotton in the Northeast. Steve, good morning.
Good morning.
We really appreciate you joining us. I really am happy that you're able to join us this morning to tell the northern gardeners on how to grow cotton.
You bet, you bet. It's an amazing story. When you told me about the cotton had been planted up there, I would say that's probably the most cotton that's been planted in the northern region in a long, long time.
Now we've had pretty good results. I've talked to quite a few people, and most people have cotton plants that are 3 to 4 feet tall, and they're really excited about it. Tell us what we should be doing now, because we want to see cotton from those plants.
Right. Okay. Let me just give you a couple of facts about cotton. Cotton is actually a tropical plant. It's a tropical plant, so it loves heat, and it requires a lot of heat to really grow and to mature those folds that you have on that plant. So if you kind of watch this, the plant developed and had the main stem and started putting on fruiting branches, and then you saw the flowers, the white flowers, and then they would turn pink, and then they turn red, and the flowers would fall off, and then those bulbs begin to form. So it takes a good while to, once those bulbs are formed, to fill out all the fiber that's inside there to mature that fiber. The fiber's developing in there. It's elongating and thickening, and then as that bulb matures, and that bulb is almost kind of like a popcorn kernel filling on up and getting ready to burst open. That bulb will burst open, and that cotton will fluff out. Oh, and a good cotton bowl will get, you know, it may open up and flare out the size of the palm of your hand if the cotton kind of strings out a little bit. So it requires a lot of heat. Another couple of things about cotton that's kind of unusual, people don't realize. Cotton is a perennial plant that we grow as an annual. So we plant it typically in the South. We'll start planting in mid-April and plant through the end of May. And then we're going to harvest that crop in September, maybe in October. But if that plant was inside or in a greenhouse where you could keep water and heat to it, it would grow year round and it just keep on growing. And, I've actually seen cotton in a greenhouse 20 years old that would just almost turn into like a tree. Wow. But we treat it as an annual and we use chemicals at the end of the year to defoliate the cotton. So we'll spray when all the bowls open up or the majority of the bowls, we'll spray a harvest date on there and that'll knock the leaves off. So when you harvest, you don't get the leaves caught up in there with all the cotton. So we treat it as a annual, even though it's a perennial. And then the other unique thing about cotton, it's a indeterminate plant that we try to grow as a determinate. So an indeterminate plant is, you know, it's growing vegetatively and it's growing, reproductively at the same time. So it's putting on new vegetative structures. It's still going to continue to try to put on additional squares and then that'll turn to flower and more bows. But we to grow in 1 year, we shut that crop down and we manage that just like you would do maybe some of the other things you would grow up north by the amount of fertilizer that we give the plant. So we have just a lot of testing to know how much nitrogen fertilizer to give that cotton so that it will run out around that September time and then that makes it easy to shut it down and harvest that cotton.
Now, you said that cotton plant really likes heat. Now, we're starting to get evening temperatures in the low to mid-50s. Is that going to stop that plant from growing?
Right. Things will start really, really slowing down. So under 60 degrees, you get very little growth in cotton. So when the temperatures fall below 60, the growth is almost – there's no more maturation going on with that plant. So it's only when it's getting above 60, really, that the, you know, metabolic activities are going on to make the plant continue to grow and develop. So you'll probably run out of time. And we even, you know, we're faced with that challenge here. And if you look where we really grow cotton commercially, it'll cut off. If you come down like in Texas and on the high plains, in the panhandle, we don't grow much cotton north up that end. And then right across the top of Oklahoma, the bottom of Kansas, that's where they quit growing cotton. If you come on across to the east, they plant cotton in Tennessee, but they don't plant it in cotton. I mean, in Kentucky. And then if you go into the Carolinas, they'll plant cotton in North Carolina, a little bit in the south part of Virginia. And commercially, that's where cotton production stops. And it all comes back to, can you get that cotton planted, to where it's 60 degrees, you know, early in the year when you plant? That's why we have to wait till April or May to get over that 60 degrees. And then you've got to try to get that crop produced in about 140 to 160 days before it wow. starts getting below 60 again.
So those of us that have cotton and we have bowls on them and we still have flowers, we should be bringing them inside the house and treating it like a tropical houseplant, like a Schefflera or a ficus or a palm tree. We have to treat it that way so that we can see those bowls open.
Right. So what I would say is, I mean, it can get below 50, and as long as it doesn't frost on the cotton and kill the leaves, it can survive being out there. It's just not going to grow very much. But then during the day, if it's getting over 60, it'll continue to grow a little bit, but not near at the rate it would be growing, you know, when you have temperatures in the 80s and 90s. So if the daytime temperatures are not getting much over 60 or barely into the low 70s, you're not going to get a lot of growth. You might want to bring them in and see if you can, you know, you can bring them along. Are any of the plants starting to, you know, of course, the bowls are set at the bottom of the plant first, and then they're, you know, continue to put on the plant through the year. Are any of the bowls at the very begin at the very bottom beginning to open yet?
No, I have three plants, and the bowl itself is still nice and dark green. There's no drying out of that bowl visible. And people that I've talked to are telling me they've got great big pods, big bowls on there. But okay, they were wondering, is do I leave it outside and let the frost hit it, and will the frost make it pop open faster?
Well, it could, but it's going to have to be mature. What happened if that bowl is not matured and it frosts on it, a condition we call hard locking will happen. So what will happen, that bowl will crack open just a little bit, but it won't really flare out and fluff out into a big fluffy bowl like you would like to see. It'll just barely crack, and then it'll just kind of stay right there, and you'll be able to see a little bit of the white cotton in there, and you'll have to kind of pull that bowl on open to see it. So if it frosts on it before it opens on its own, you're not likely to see. I'm going to send you some really pretty bowls from various parts of the cotton growing region, along with some other things. I plan to put that in the mail for you on Monday. So I'll send you some live open bowls of the cotton down here. Of course, we're getting in the time of the year that it's opened up, and the bowls on our cotton plants down here are 80% open. So we're in the harvest stage.
Wow, that's great. We're going to come up with a little bit of a break here. Steve, if you can hold on, we want to talk to you a little bit more about cotton. But we're talking with Steve Nichols from the Bayer Advance Lawn and Garden Company. Steve is the head of agronomy for Fibermax, which is part of Bayer, and we're talking cotton. Now that you planted your garden and you're ready to enjoy the rewards of your labor, do not let the deer destroy your hard work. Pick up a container of Deer Scram. These granules are guaranteed to work. That's right, guaranteed to keep the deer away from your garden. Even safe to use in a vegetable garden, and contains no synthetic additives. It's not toxic. It's biodegradable and will not harm animals and the environment. That's Deer Scram. Gardening is a lot of fun and work until the animals move into your yard for lunch. This year, stop the problem with 100% organic animal repellent made by ShakeAway. ShakeAway Small Critter repels chipmunks, rabbits, and the dreaded woodchucks. That's right, woodchucks. ShakeAway Dormant Cat Repellent keeps your neighbor's cat from using your garden as a litter box. Only from ShakeAway. All ShakeAway products contain fox urine, proven to be most effective repellent for your garden. Go to ShakeAway.com.
Hi, this is Carl Edwards. As a high-performance NASCAR driver, I need to stay healthy and fuel up with the right nutrients I need to perform my best. But the average vegetable loses nutrients while traveling to the store. So I decided to grow my own edible garden with the help of Miracle-Gro Liquifeed. Now, instead of going out, I grow out to eat delicious meals made with the freshest ingredients from my garden. Plants need more than water to reach their fullest potential. They need food. The fast, easy way to grow a thriving edible garden is with Miracle-Gro Liquifeed. I just attach the Liquifeed feeder to my garden hose, insert the refill bottle, and feed my plants as I water, about once every other week. Simple. And Liquifeed has already mixed the ideal amount of food and water my plants need, so there's no mixing, no measuring, and no mess. Now that my garden gets exactly the right amount of food, it grows twice as big as watering alone. So grow out to eat like me and start your edible garden with Miracle-Gro Liquifeed. Pick up Miracle-Gro Liquifeed today. Start right. Finish big with Miracle-Gro.
Have you ever felt like the United States government knows way too much about your financial affairs? I continue to hear stories about property seizures, frozen bank accounts, confiscation of stocks and bonds. It makes me wonder if the U.S. citizen will ever again have the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Unfortunately, with the Drug and Money Laundering Act, the IRS Revenue Ruling 6045 of 1984, and the Trading with the Enemy Act and Franklin D. Roosevelt's Executive Order of 1933, some precious metal holdings are subject to government intervention. For this reason, Midas Resources has prepared a report explaining the boundaries of trading precious metals privately. Whether if you have any intention of trading with Midas Resources or not, I have instructed my representatives to give this report out free. Call for your free copy at 1-800-686-2237. When investing, always proceed with caution. Again, call 1-800-686-2237. Exercise your legal right to trade metals privately. 1-800-686-2237.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 5 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $209, and the Berkey guy will include three Sport Berkey water bottles and ship everything to you free of charge. That's right, three Sport Berkey water bottles and free shipping. An $87 value, yours free. Call the Berkey guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Good morning, and welcome back to the Paul Parent Garden Club. We are talking with Steve Nichols. He's the head of agronomy and for a company called Fibermax, which is part of Bayer Advanced Lawn and Garden. And we're talking about cotton. Now, Steve, you were saying that cotton is a perennial plant. It's a tropical plant. And that if the temperatures get below 60, it just stops growing. So would you recommend that everybody that planted cotton in their garden, could they dig these plants and bring them inside the house for the winter and then replant them next year?
Okay, then that would be a challenge because cotton does have a very deep root system. So it has a main tap root that goes, you know, very deep in the ground, and then it has several lateral branches. And those branches, you know, like I said, it would almost grow like a tree if you left it in the ground and had good growing conditions. So to dig it up, I mean, it would be a major challenge because the root system would be so expanse, and it'd be difficult to get it out of the ground without you know, damaging those roots and being able to bring it inside. To kind of give you an idea on the growing, one thing you can do on cotton and is just look at your daily temperatures and wherever you're growing your cotton. And if you take the high temperature and subtract the low temperature and then divide that by two, it'll give you an idea on what we, it's a heat unit measure that we do. So for an example, if the high temperature was 80 and you subtract 60 from it, that would give you 20. Divide that by two, that's 10 heat units, and that's really good conditions for cotton. But I did make one mistake in that formula there. It's not the high minus the low, it's the high temperature minus 60. So if the temperature was 64, it would just be 64 minus 60 divided by 2 would only be 2 heat units, and that's very little growth for cotton. You really need that number to be 5 to 10 to really be seeing the growth that you're going to be able to mature that plant out. So when the daytime temperatures quit getting much above 60, it's just not going to grow, and you're not going to see much change from one day to the next. So if you have them in some large pots and can bring them inside, I would bring them in, and you may have a chance to finish that crop on out and see those bowls open. If they're planted and firmly rooted in the ground, you know, you're just going to have to take chances that you get some more heat before you get a frost.
So it really needs some warm weather to make that bowl break open to reveal the cotton.
Exactly. It needs the same heat that you get in July and August. You know, it needs that same heat into September, and depending when you plant it, it'll need it all the way into October. Do you have an idea of when most people planted their cotton, what month they got it planted?
We sent out seed during March and April. So hopefully everybody started them in the house and then transplanted in containers or directly into the garden as established seeding. But everybody that I talked to told me that their plants were between 3 and 4 feet tall. And as you stated when we started talking, they enjoyed the beautiful white flowers, funnel shape, that then turned pink. And then they turn red, and I mean, my plants have white, red, and pink flowers still on that plant. And once the flowers fell, there's like a little leaf covering over that flower, and it almost looks like a Venus flytrap that the pod comes out of.
Right. That's called the square. So when that flower falls off, like you said, there's kind of like a leaf covering. It almost looks like a triangulated leaf covering deal. That is the square, and that square continues to develop, and that square turns into the bowl. So one thing you can kind of do to see where your cotton plants are as far as development, how close they are to that cotton beginning to open, you're talking about the flower still on the plant. If you go up the plant and find the highest flower on the plant and see how many fruiting branches is left from your top flower to the very top of the plant. So just say, or you could start from the top of the plant and just start counting down the limbs. So you'll see the little limbs coming out off the main stem and count down how many stems do you come down till you find that white flower. And cotton is getting close to being mature when the flower is up to, it's only about four limbs down from the very top of the plant. Now, if your flowers are still down in the middle of the plant and there's a lot of branches up above where a flower hasn't formed yet on that fruiting branch, you still have a ways to go.
Okay, so basically they need to bring them into the house now. Keep them in a south-facing window where they get lots of sun, and if the house is kept at 70 degrees, it will continue to grow. Now, Steve, if we can keep these plants alive all winter, can we repot it in the spring, and will it continue to make cotton next year?
Right. I mean, as long as you can continue to water them, they should probably stay alive, and they'll just stay like a green plant. And like I said, you know, commercially, when we grow cotton on a big scale, if we go out and plant a 1,000-acre field, we're actually managing to shut that plant down so we can harvest. But if you bring it inside, protect it, continue to give it water through the year, as long as it's got some temperature, you could grow it in your house through the winter.
Wonderful. Steve, thank you so much for joining us this morning. And we're looking forward to the information and some of the cotton pods you'll be sending us. And we'll send you all kinds of pictures. Thank you. Go outside and take a look at the siding on your house, the fence, the paved walkways, decks, driveways, and even the patio furniture and canvas awnings. Do you see green stains? Well, it's either moss, mold, or mildew, and it's slowly destroying your home and garden. Eliminate it now, easily with Wet and Forget. Wet and Forget is an outdoor cleaner that requires no pressure washer, bleach, or scrubbing. Just wet and forget the problem area, and Mother Nature does the rest naturally. That's Wet and Forget. This fall, after you put all your garden equipment, patio furniture, power tools away for the winter in the tool shed, place a package or two of Mouse Magic into your shed to keep the rodents out. Mouse Magic is an all-natural and contains essential oil. Mouse Magic contains no poisons, keeping your pet safe from accidental poisoning. Mouse Magic triggers a behavioral change in the rodents to avoid and escape the building. Also great for campers. That's Mouse Magic from Bone-Eyed Lawn and Garden. Mouse Magic.
How well and how fast does Heart and Body Extract work to improve blood circulation? Listen.
My name is Ellis, and I am 66 years old, and I live in Jacksonville, Florida. 2 years ago, I was diagnosed as having clogged arteries. I had 70% blockage in one artery leading to my heart. They wanted me to go on Plavix, but I refused, knowing the negative side effects.
Heart and Body Extract is a unique balance, synergy, and proportion of herbs reaching from head to toe at maximum absorption around 95% at the cellular level.
Within the first month, I felt a dramatic difference. The heaviness in my legs was reduced, and within 2 months, I felt completely normal.
Your natural organic herbal formula for heart health is Heart and Body Extract. Heart and Body Extract comes with a 100% ironclad money-back guarantee. Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract. Call 866-295-5305, 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.
There are all sorts of things on the market designed to keep you safe when you're out and about. Whistles, mace, you name it. But for real peace of mind for parents, students, and children, you need an iSafe bag.
We heard a loud noise, and I could see a flashing in the backpack.
The sound was different than a car alarm, so it was a different sound, so we looked to see what it was.
I think it's a great idea.
Introducing the iSafe bag, a backpack that looks normal until you pull the pin. The iSafe bag emits two powerful sirens and a high-intensity strobe light simultaneously to attract immediate help.
Having the iSafe bag gives me a feeling of being safe because I know when I pull the alarm, people will hear it and they'll come and help me.
For mobile personal security, get the iSafe bag at iSafeBags.com. That's the letter I-S-A-F-E bags.com. iSafeBags.com.
I thank God that she had that backpack and she had enough sense to use it.
It's like having a bodyguard with you all the time. The iSafe bag, the patented bag with a built-in alarm, available at iSafeBags.com.
If you're a regular listener of this station, then disaster survival is vitally important to you and your family. Long-term food storage, water filtration, emergency food preparation, and quality survival products are not just talk topics, but a way of life. We strongly believe in being prepared for any emergency. We are foodandwaterstore.com, owned and operated by people who are into emergency preparedness. And because we are preppers like you, we own and use the products we offer. You'll find quality name brand proven products like Global Sun Ovens, Wonder Mill Flour Mills, Mountain House Foods, Satchel and Berkey water filters, and many more, plus videos and articles at foodandwaterstore.com. 90% of our customers are return customers because of our low prices and excellent customer service. We still believe the customer is always right. Discover what your family needs to weather any storm at foodandwaterstore.com or call 1-877-773-7123. Foodandwaterstore.com, helping you prepare for the storms of life.
Never clean or maintain your old-fashioned gutters again. Now there's Rain Handler. How'd you like to never have to climb a shaky ladder to dig out leaves from your gutters ever again? You need Rain Handler, the patented modern gutter that eliminates gutter cleaning forever. Rain Handler converts the runoff from your roof to gentle raindrops and spreads them away from your home, eliminating ground erosion. Rain Handler is made of self-cleaning aluminum louvers that allow leaves and debris to blow away. And Rain Handler cannot cause ice dams. Each Rain Handler section is guaranteed against winter damage and comes with a 25-year warranty and a full one-year money-back satisfaction guarantee. Go to GetRainHandler.com to see this amazing system in action or call 800-942-3004. All radio listeners receive a 10% discount at GetRainHandler.com. That's GetRainHandler.com. Call 800-942-3004 or visit GetRainHandler.com today.
Good morning, and welcome back to the Paul Parent Garden Club. I thought this would be good information for you, knowing that the weather is changing. I talked with Ken Kukurowski this past week when we were at the trade show, and he had talked to Steve Nichols and really stressed the point that if you have cotton plants, that you bring them inside the house. And as he said, you know, once the temperatures get below 60, the plant stops growing. So that if you have potted cactus, potted cotton, bring them into the house today, put them in a south-facing window, and you can enjoy that cotton all winter long. There's still lots of flowers on the plants. Mine still have a lot of buds on them, so that it will give you something pretty, like a tropical plant that you can enjoy all winter long. If you take good care of it and move it into a larger container, put it on your patio, and it will make all new flowers next year and give you cotton again. So kind of fun if you've got some extra cotton plants or you can't keep them in your house. I have an idea for you. Take them to your local school, a junior high, an elementary, or even a high school, and I'd be willing to bet that they would take the plants. It would be a fun thing for the kids to see and enjoy. And, you know, if you live in New England, you don't see cotton growing. If you live in the Northeast, you don't see cotton growing. So it's unique, it's different, and it will show the kids in school how a T-shirt is made. And don't forget, the Toshville Fair, we're going to have a big display. We want you to bring your plants to the fair so that everybody can see the plants when they come there. So we'd like you to bring it to the Toshville Fair. They're located on Route 1 in Toshville on Thursday, September 30th, between 9 and 4. Put a piece of masking tape on the pot. Put your name, address, phone number on it. And we're going to make a big display, and we're going to make a really fun Sunday on the 30th, on the October 3rd, for you to enjoy cotton. So we hope to see you there. Let's go to the phone lines. Don, who's up next?
Up next, this is Barbara from New Hampshire, who has a question about a seed slicer.
Barbara, good morning. Welcome to the Garden Club.
Good morning. I rented a seed slicer.
Yes.
And I did my lawn, but it looks like I've aerated it. It's all dead grass on the top. Should I pick this up?
No, because that dead grass, Barbara, is like putting compost or mulch on top of the seed. It's keeping it moist. It's preventing the birds from finding the seed and eating all of it. So that's why I keep stressing the point. The days of rototilling are over because your dead grass acts as insulation. It helps to hold the moisture there, and it keeps the weeds from germinating. So the dead grass, it actually is working in your favor, and it will help the seed to germinate faster. The main thing, make sure that you keep it wet. You need to water on a daily basis, and if you haven't fertilized, it would be a good idea. So just a general purpose, like a seed starter fertilizer or a fall fertilizer, will work very, very well. But the dead grass are acting as insulation and will help to speed up the germination of that seed. So everything is good, and you wait. You're gonna start looking out there, and all of a sudden, you're going to see the grass growing in rows, long, straight rows, and what looks like soldiers lined up will start to move and spread, and it will get thicker and thicker, and by next spring, it will be nice and green, but in the fall, you're going to see rows of green coming through the dead grass. Don't worry about it, because it will change very, very quickly. So you did good. Just have some patience and keep it wet. Thank you, Barbara. Don, who's up next?
Actually, Paul, the phone lines are open, so everyone should feel free to call in with their questions.
That's great. So if you need some help with your garden, the number to call right now, 800-259-9231. That's 800-259-9231. Give us a call right now. We'll get you set up, and we'll answer all of your gardening questions. There's a lot to do at this time of the year. And if you want some color, I know some of the gardens are getting a little tired. If you're planting some color, it's mums, flowering cabbage, flowering kale, your fall blooming asters, and Montauk daisy. Now, the last perennial to bloom in your garden is the Montauk daisy. It doesn't flower until October when your chrysanthemums are done blooming. So if you want some color for now, it's mums. Now, when you buy a mum, try and buy a mum that still has buds on it. If you buy it in full bloom, in 2 weeks, it's over. So make sure there's buds. Now, this is what I want you to do when you buy a mum. Pull the mum out of the pot. Get a sharp knife and set the mum on the ground. I want you to cut into the root ball about a half an inch from the top of the side of the pot down to the ground three times. So you're going to cut into the root ball three times, space evenly along the side. And then on the bottom of your pot, I want you to cut an X all the way across. And again, about a half an inch deep. The reason I want you to do this is the mum has been grown in a pot. The root hits the side of the pot and follows in a circular fashion around the outside edge. When you put it into the ground, the roots continue to grow in a circle and don't move out into the soil. And that way, when the ground freezes, the frost will heave the root ball up and the plants die. So cut the sides, cut an X in the bottom, put a little bit of compost and manure in the ground and plant them, and they'll do much, much better. Don, who's next?
Up next, this is Kelly from Cape Cod, who has a question about a hibiscus.
Good morning, Kelly. How can we help you with your hibiscus?
Hi. Good morning. It's so nice to talk to you. I live here on Cape Cod, and I have a beautiful hibiscus on my deck, and it's just grown leaps and bounds, and it's blossoms and all sorts of things. Now, when do I take it in?
Well, I would think that you should be bringing it in any time now. The reason I want you to bring it in early, and if you have ferns outside or tropical plants, you want to try and bring it in now. Because right now, on a nice day, you still have the windows open so that you're getting all of that moist air coming into your house. If you wait until the very last minute and you take it from a nice environment that's humid and moist, and you bring it into a house and the heat comes on, the heat dries the air. So it's a dramatic change in the climate of the plant, and you end up with a lot of leaf drop. And in the case of a hibiscus, you also get flower drop. So if you can bring it in now, put it in a south-facing window with as much sun as you can possibly give it. And the secret with hibiscus is fertilizer. Hibiscus really should be fed during the winter every 2 weeks indoors. And if you can feed it every 2 weeks, hibiscus will flower non-stop all winter long. So south-facing, lots of food, water as needed, but try and get it inside before the heat turns on, before you put the storm windows down, and that way it will acclimate to the climate change. And you say, well, it's from outdoors to in. It is a climate change because you have a ceiling over the plant. Outside, it's in full view of the sun all day long. Now you have walls, you have a ceiling, and the light is limited to the window. This time of the year, we're getting morning dew. We're getting moisture all over the leaves. Once you put it in the house, there's no more moisture on the leaves and on the buds every single day. The humidity level right now is good in your house. But once that heat kicks on a regular basis, now it has a chance to acclimate. Okay? So do it now, and you'll be in great shape. Thank you, Kelly. We appreciate the phone call. Dawn, who's next?
This is John from Cape Cod, who's a question about hydrangeas and thatching.
John, good morning. Welcome to the Garden Club.
Thank you. Hey, just listening to your question on or your answer on the seed slicer, does that hold true for if I thatch the grass?
If you thatch the grass,
hydrangeas as well.
Okay, if you have thatched the grass and you're exposing the soil to the seed, The secret with growing grass is the seed itself has to be in contact with the soil. So if you've thatched it and you've exposed the soil and you can get the seed in contact with the soil, then it will germinate a lot better. If it's sitting on top of the dead grass, it's not going to grow. So what was your second question, John?
On the hydrangea, if I want to cut it back because it's getting too overgrown, when do I do that and where?
Okay. Now, this is the blue one, right?
Yes.
Well, okay.
The blue one and the blue one.
Now, the blue hydrangea is not as winter hardy as your white hydrangea. The white hydrangea, for example, can be grown in Presque Isle, Maine. It can be grown in St. Johnsbury, Vermont, okay, because it can tolerate the cold weather. The blue hydrangea is a different plant altogether. And on Cape Cod, the climate is a lot better than it would be in Topsfield, Massachusetts, or in Worcester, because it's colder during the winter. Now, all you have to remember is this. The blue hydrangea makes the flower buds on the growth that was made this year. So when you look at your plant, you see branches with blooms, and in the middle of the plant, a lot of new growth that was made during the year. The new growth that was made during the year contains the flower buds for next summer. If you prune it back where you made the cut, it will not have enough time to make a scab. And during the winter, moisture will escape where you pruned it. The end result, the flower buds dry out. Do your pruning after the new growth has begun in the spring. So you're going to prune back your hydrangea during May, not in the fall.
If rabbits have found your garden and are eating your flowers and shrubs, it's time to fight back with Bob XR. Just spray the foliage of your plants and they will move to your neighbor's yard. Bob XR will not wash off and will last for up to 2 months, even during the winter. If rodents ate your flower bulbs this year, be sure to treat your new ones with Bob XR by soaking them for 5 minutes before planting this fall. For honest answers about your animal problems, call Bob X at 800-792-4449.
Let me tell you about Vacation, an all-natural, anti-drought, liquid plant treatment perfectly suited to take care of your plants while you are away. Mix Vacation with water and apply to your plants as a normal watering. Your plants will remain in a state of drought resistance for up to 2 weeks as long as they are not watered. Safe and non-toxic for people and pets. Vacation works great as a plant sitter while you're away on vacation. So keep your plants healthy while you're on vacation with Vacation.
Are you seeing ants and other insects in your home? Want to control them organically? Then use Ant Eater from St. Gabriel Organics. Ant Eater is so safe you can place the powder in the cabinet with your cereal and bag goods. Control insects in any room of your home, even the kitchen, with organic Ant Eater. Roaches, fleas, ticks, and ants don't have a chance with Ant Eater. And now you can kill weeds organically with Burnout 2. Yes, organically, Burnout 2.
Hi, this is Brian Main from my good friends at Dr. Earth with an incredible offer. Dr. Earth is generously offering a free 48-page organic gardening guide. Milo Seamus, president of Dr. Earth, has spent over 17 years researching and developing this invaluable information for the Dr. Earth 17th Anniversary Magazine. Visit drearth.com and click the Ask Dr. Earth button on top. Enter your mailing address and send it, or call 707-448-4676. Again, that's drearth.com. Dr. Earth, just go organic.
It's the end of summer blowout sale at HerbalHealer.com.
Now take advantage of Herbal Healer Academy's incredible savings on colloidal silver.
500 parts per million, pharmaceutical grade.
All sizes from 2 ounces to a gallon on sale.
It's simply the best colloidal silver available.
And CoQ10 100 milligrams with hawthorn.
An exceptional supplement for heart and arterial health.
Is only $19.
Plus, get the number one arthritis supplement, glucosamine chondroitin.
60 caps for only $12.
Where?
HerbalHealer.com.
Super Femplex and Super Maleplex, both great formulas for reproductive tonification,
are on sale now, 90 tabs, only $15.
Need a safe and mild colon detoxifier?
Herbal Healer Academy's Colon Enhancer large 250-capsule bottle is now only $18. There's so much more at herbalhealer.com,
but not much time.
The end of summer blowout sale ends October 13th.
New customers get a free catalog with your first order.
Log on and hit the summer special now at herbalhealer.com.
Gold is like nothing else on Earth. From the Romans through the Renaissance, from the Industrial Age to the Space Age, gold has weathered the test of time. For 6,000 years, gold has remained the ultimate store of wealth. According to the World Gold Council and the U.S. Mint, demand is at an all-time high. The stage is being set for the reemergence of gold as the common-sense alternative to a fiat paper currency that gets weaker every day. Midas Resources is proud to offer the hard-hitting report that arms you with the truth you need to protect you and your family from the Fed's plans for your hard-earned money. Don't gamble with your future. Call Midas Resources today and ask for your free copy of As Good as Gold. Call 1-800-686-2233 for the report the Fed hopes you'll never see. As Good as Gold can be yours by calling 800-686-2237. If you have ever thought about owning gold, you must read this report. Call Midas today at 800-686-2237.
The food storage industry leader has done it again.
Introducing FDG Clubs and Survival Bucks from the Freeze Dry Guy. For over 39 years, the Freeze Dry Guy has served various government agencies and the private sector with the finest in storable foods and emergency rations. If you've wanted to build emergency food supplies but couldn't afford it,
now you can.
Go to freezedryguy.com, click on products, and look for the Freeze Dry Guy Clubs to pay as you go.
Now you can build food storage without going into debt.
Choose from a payment range of $95 to $450 per month.
Our clubs work with everyone's budget.
Plus, when you join Freeze Dry Guy Clubs, you'll get additional rewards. For example, this month, get 10% back in survival bucks on all purchases in the Freeze Dry Guy product line, plus free shipping within the lower 48 states on any order amount. Hurry, go to freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. That's freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. The Freeze Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Well, good morning, and welcome back to the Paul Parent Garden Club. Again, we want to say a special hello to a new radio station joining the Paul Parent Garden Club, WNRI, 1380 AM from Woonsocket, Rhode Island. It's a news talk station, been on the air since 1954. So they've been around a long time. They're doing a great job, and we want to thank Jeff Gamache and especially his grandmother, Cora, who was after Jeff for to have him pick up our program. We're really pleased. So if you live in the Woonsocket area, we're on Sunday mornings from 6 o'clock until 8 on your station. Check out our website, paulparent.com, and sign up for the newsletter. Great information comes out every single Thursday. It's free, and all you need to do is go to paulparent.com. Top of the page, it says newsletter. Just click on there and then give us your email address and we will send you an email newsletter every single Thursday. It's as easy as that. And while you're there, take a look at our trip that we're planning to Ireland in May of next year. Some unbelievable gardens, a great time. And if you have some Irish blood or you've always wanted to see the real green of Ireland and the gardens, now's your chance. And it's going to be a wonderful time. And we're all going to be gardeners, so it'll be a lot of great time for questions, getting information about your garden, and time for shopping and just enjoying the countryside. Dawn, who's up next?
Up next, this is Karen from New Hampshire, who has a question about climbing roses.
Karen, good morning. Welcome to the Garden Club.
Good morning. So happy to speak with you.
My pleasure.
I have a question about roses.
Yes.
I live right on the ocean in Seabrook Beach, and I want a climbing rose to go over an arbor. what do you suggest, and then when and how would I plant it and how would I take care of it?
Okay. Is it going to be able to get sun all day, Karen?
A good part of the day, yes. I'd say
okay.
Most of the day. Probably, yes, most of the day.
Okay. And you're going to be tying it and training it to go up
this
arbor.
Yes.
Okay. The hardiest color is red.
Which is my preference.
Okay. Then the best of the red for many, many years is one called Blaze, B-L-A-Z-E. It is a wonderful, wonderful climbing red rose. There are other varieties. There are what they call a Cape Cod Rambler. And if you drive to Cape Cod, you're going to see these wild-growing roses. They're clusters of small flowers, while the Blaze would be clusters of larger blooms. Normally around Father's Day in mid-June is when the Blaze would come into flower, but there's a lot of newer hybrids. But Blaze is the number one seller of the climbing rose. Now, being that you live by the seashore, I would wait until spring to plant the roses. That way you've got plenty of time to get established. If you're inland, you're not dealing with the wind from the open ocean blowing on that rose all winter. But for you, wait until the spring, dig a big hole. I mean, you should have a hole at least 2 feet by 2 feet filled with good topsoil. That way the roots have a chance to get a lot of moisture. If you put it right in the sand during the winter, you're going to have some drying out problems, and the roses won't do as well. But the Blaze is wonderful. Make sure you put an anti-desiccant on them. Tie them so that the wind doesn't move them once they get growing, and you should have a great plant. Remember, roses are plants that are fed every single month, April, May, June, July, August, and September. No fertilizer after September 1st. If you feed after September 1st and we have nice weather, the rose will continue to grow. You do not want it to grow during September. You want it to prepare for the winter. So instead of making a lot of new growth, you want it to become woody, fibrous, and strong to tolerate the winter weather. So plant in the spring, visit your local nursery, Blaze is the one that I like. There's also many other varieties. Paul Scarlet is a good one, and Lincoln will do